taken over a car crash economy and a so-called zombie government. Building a new cabinet, formulating an effective energy plan, and figuring out how to remove pressure of the severe cost of living crisis are all top of the agenda.
Things in Britain do need to change. We need some new policies, because what's been happening recently is there's a cost of living crisis, an energy crisis. Inflation is at its highest amount for several decades now, and this is alarming. Britain's economic future is quite bleak. Businesses are suffering. Indeed, there could be the position that many factories may have to close, perhaps temporarily, because simply they cannot afford the fuel bills. So something, in a sense, must be done.
Truss inherits a deeply divided party. Lagging in the polls and a long line of past scandals have left many experts fearing lasting damage to Tory electoral prospects.
Truss won't officially take over until Tuesday after a meeting with the Queen alongside the outgoing Mr. Johnson. However, her next big fight will be to convince the wider electorate that her premiership has a future. Robert Carter, London.
Italy's outgoing government discussed an energy-saving plan during a council of ministers aimed to save up for this winter as part of efforts to reduce the country's dependency on Russian gas. Ecological Transition Minister Roberto Cingolani's plan includes limiting the use of heating in apartment blocks and public buildings. Italians will be demanded to turn down the central heating by 1 degree and turn it off for an hour at dusk every day starting in October. Italy is struggling with increased energy costs as wholesale gas prices have surged to historic levels across Europe since the start of the conflict in Ukraine.
Italy and a few other countries, including Belgium and the Czech Republic, are among those seeking an EU price cap on gas for power, but some members of the bloc, including France, are against this option. An emergency meeting of European Union energy ministers will be held in Brussels on September 9 to reach a consensus on tackling skyrocketing power costs.
We have a big gas problem. Our families and businesses are struggling, and politicians keep talking about making more debt to alleviate the crisis. But that would just be a patchwork. Italy must leave the TTF, the virtual trading point for natural gas based in the Netherlands, and then we can discuss a new LNG strategy.
Meanwhile, the Italian Confederation of Enterprises, Confcommercio, has warned some 120,000 Italian service sector firms could go out of business over the next 10 months.
I costi dell'energia sono ormai la vera emergenza.
The rise of energy costs is the real emergency. Service sector firms will spend a total of 33 billion euros on energy bills, 3 times as much as in 2021. The government must speed up the procedures to access the funds of the EU Energy Recovery Fund and to make sure that the price cap on gas for power is adopted.
If energy costs keep rising at the current pace, Confcommercio, which has estimated that 370,000 jobs are at risk, is calling on the government to extend tax relief and to mandate that bills can be paid in smaller installments. The bad news for Italy doesn't stop there. Inflation jumped to 9% in August from 8.4% the month before. Financial analysts expect inflation to grow further, reaching 10% in October. Max Civili, Rome.
Palestinians have staged a rally in front of the Red Cross office in Gaza to mark the first anniversary of the Gilboa prison break, also known as the Freedom Tunnel operation. In September of last year, 6 Palestinian detainees escaped from the Gilboa maximum security prison in occupied northern Palestine. They managed to get out through an underground tunnel in the prison's drainage system. Hamas resistance movement has vowed to secure the release of Palestinian detainees.
On the first anniversary of the heroic Gilboa escape operation, we salute the 6 prisoners. Securing the release of all prisoners is a top priority for Palestinian resistance factions. The 6 escapees will be on top of the list of any future prisoner swap deals with the Zionist entity.
The Israeli regime violates all the rights and freedoms granted to prisoners by the 4th Geneva Convention. The Israeli prison service keeps Palestinian inmates under deplorable conditions. The prisoners have also been subjected to systematic torture and harassment.
Palestinian prisoners escape from Israeli prisons because of the horrible detention conditions. They suffer from inhumane treatment, and hundreds of prisoners are held without charge or trial under the so-called administrative detention.
Palestinian prisoners regularly go on hunger strikes and protest at the regime's administrative detention policy and harsh conditions. Palestinians are calling on the international community to come out of its silence and help Palestinian prisoners.
We call on all international human rights organizations to step in and protect Palestinian prisoners. There are thousands of prisoners, including children and women, in Israeli custody. Palestinian prisoners are suffering from all forms of oppression inside Israeli jails.
Currently, around 5,000 Palestinians, including children and women, are languishing inside Israeli jails.
People here consider Palestinians held in Israeli jails as political prisoners and freedom fighters who continue to struggle under the watchful eye of the international community. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
In the limelight.
It was quite clear from day one that the Zionist regime military would not practice justice for the murder of Palestinian journalist Shirin Abu Aghla on May 11th of this year. What comes to mind is that how many times the fabricated regime of Israel has ever practiced justice? And how can you expect from an apartheid regime who brazenly steals land and kills innocent people to practice justice? These are the questions that need to be answered by the Zionist regime's allies and aides, the US in particular. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. This is the first part. The website of Palestine Chronicle wrote, Abu Aghla's family rejects Israeli army report on Palestinian journalist killing. The family of Palestinian journalist Shirin Abu Aghla, who was killed while covering a raid by Israeli regime troops in Jenin refugee camp on May 11th, has rejected an Israeli army report on her killing. The Israeli military released a statement that tried to obscure the truth and avoid responsibility for killing Shirin Abu Aghla, our aunt, sister, best friend, journalist, and a Palestinian American, said the family in an open letter. The Abu Aghla family said that it is not surprised by this outcome, since it is obvious to anyone that Israeli war criminals cannot investigate their own crimes. The family members insisted that they will continue to demand the U.S. government follow through with its stated commitments to accountability, but that requires action. Also, the website of Electronic Intifada, penned by Ali Abu Nima, said the family of Shirin Abu Aghla rejected the results of Israel's official investigation into the slaying of the world-renowned Al Jazeera journalist. Abu Aghla was fatally shot in the head in Jenin on May 11th as she and other journalists were covering an Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank city. Her colleague, Ali Samoudi, was shot in the back and injured. Lina Abu Aghla, the journalist's niece, said in a tweet sharing the family's reaction, "We could never expect any type of accountability or legitimate investigation from the very entity responsible for gunning down an unarmed and clearly identifiable journalist. Earlier, the Israeli army claimed, according to the newspaper Haaretz, that Abu Akleh was likely mistakenly shot by an Israeli soldier while under fire, who was using a telescopic scope and misidentified her as an armed Palestinian gunman. There have been at least 9 separate investigations of Abu Akleh's killing. Eyewitnesses' accounts have been consistent that there were no exchanges of fire in the area at the time that Abu Akleh, who was clearly identified as a journalist, was killed. One of those investigations was conducted by CNN, which reported in May that it had obtained new evidence, including 2 videos of the scene of the shooting, that there was no active combat nor any Palestinian near Abu Akleh in the moments leading up to her death. Videos obtained by CNN, corroborated by testimony from 8 eyewitnesses, an audio forensic analyst, and an explosive weapons expert, suggest that Abu Akleh was shot dead in a targeted attack by Israeli forces, CNN added. Electronic Intifada added, in reality, the U.S. has been helping Israel get away with the murder, ignoring growing demands from members of Congress and the Abu Akleh family for the U.S. to launch its own investigation. Given its record, there is little reason to think Washington and its faithful followers in the European Union won't continue to play Israel's game unless the demands for real justice and accountability remain loud and constant. The recent Israeli announcement on Labor Day, a national holiday in the U.S., also raises suspicions that it was time to attract as little attention as possible. Notably, the U.S. picked July 4th, its own so-called Independence Day, and another major public holiday to issue a statement claiming that Washington could not reach a definitive conclusion regarding the origin of the bullet that killed the journalist. While the U.S. at the time acknowledged that Israel likely killed Abu Akleh, it offered justifications and excuses that were widely derided and rejected. Human rights groups have long pointed out that the main task of the Israeli regime Army Advocate General's office is not determining the truth, but shielding Israeli troops from accountability. In 2016, B'Tselem announced it would stop cooperating with the military investigation system. The Israeli human rights group said at the time, "We will no longer aid a system that whitewashes investigations and serves as a fig leaf for the occupation." Recently, B'Tselem dismissed the army's probe of Abu Akleh's killing as another whitewash, saying the slaying was no mistake and that it was instead Israeli policy. B'Tselem added, "Enormous public and international pressure was needed to make the Zionist regime spurt a faint confession that one of its soldiers had killed journalist Shirin Abu Akleh, while at the same time shaking off any responsibility for her death. The killing of Abu Akleh is the predictable result of Israel's outrageous open fire policy in the occupied territories. This policy claims more and more victims, while the whitewash continues undisturbed."
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you, Rasulullah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to the program Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this episode, we want to try to learn a few things from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi that I and you should apply in our life. That by doing so, not only we seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only we seek reward and get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we become a mini version of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In a hadith from Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, he says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَمْ. The Prophet, he himself said, خَمْسٌ لَا أَدَعُهُنَّ حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ. Five things I will never leave, I will never abandon until the day I die. Which means they are very part and parcel of the daily life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What are they? He says, Al-aklu ala al-ardi ma'al abid. Eating on the ground with the servants. That's just being humble. You should not look at people who are lower than you as worse than you, and you are above them. So we say that sometimes you might see people sitting on the ground eating, simple people, and they say, come, eat with us, join us. And he's like, no, no, thanks, I'm full, I don't want to eat. And then you walk away. Why? Because you think that's just too low. People sitting in the streets or in a park and they're eating on the ground, and you say, I'm not going to bring my level to that. That is pride. This is what we call in Arabic, takabbur. And that's definitely not one of the traits of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So slaves we don't have anymore. But we live in a society where we have levels. The society has divided people into levels, lower class, upper class, middle class. So sometimes it depends on the class we're in, especially if you're middle class or high class. You're like, no, there's no way I'm going to sit with those who are lower than me. That's just wrong. Human beings are either brother in faith or equal in humanity, in the immortal words of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So this is the first thing about the Prophet. He says, Warukubi Mukiffan, that when I ride, I have to make sure that my face is in the right direction. So he would basically, he's trying to say that I look normal if I want to ride a mule or a horse or a camel.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Sometimes when we ride our own cars, we drive and we sit in a way where we think we are the kings. And that's not required. That's not necessary. You see some people, like when they get in a car, they push their seat all the way to the back and they stretch their hands and they drive like... That is not required. Be normal. That's also another thing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Third, he says, "Wahal bi al anza biyadi," and milking the goat with my own hands. Which means that when it comes to work, there's not such a thing as saying, well, this work is too low, I would not do it. I would not go to this state. I mean, if we have goats here now, I don't think we're going to milk it ourselves. We get someone to do it for us. Because we think that's just an action that's wrong to do. Because I am much better than that. I'm much higher than that. Nonsense. The Prophet says, I want to milk the, whether it's a cow, whether it's a goat, I want to milk it myself with my bare hands. I don't want, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, it was known about him that he would never order people to do things for him, not even to ask a person. He'd never ask a person to go get him water. He would get up and do it himself. So he's trying to teach us that when it comes to things, get involved yourself. Do it yourself. Don't put yourself higher than everything else. Now, let us take a short break and then we will continue right after.
You came to me in that hour of need when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the love. Now all I want is to be with you.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The Prophet said in a hadith, five things I will not leave until I die. Okay, so eating with the slaves, riding, facing forward, milking the cow with my own hands, and four, walibsu suf, that if I want to wear clothes, I wear wool clothes. Now, obviously, times have changed. We have at least, let's say, developed ourselves. We kind of moved from that time and era where people had no clothes and they would wear wherever they can. But nevertheless, saying that, and now we live in an age of brands. Sometimes we make sure that when I'm wearing clothes, it has to be a brand. If it's not a brand, then I'm not going to wear it. And people take a pride in that. Look at my Gucci, look at my Versace. So we take a pride in it. The Prophet says, you shouldn't do that. I mean, why do you feel the need that you have to make yourself better than people? When someone is wearing something normal, say, oh, you're wearing this junk? To you, it's junk. To them, it's not. That's what they can afford. The Prophet, when he says, I wear wool, because that's what was available, that was the cheapest he can find in his time. Because he does not want people to think, okay, look at the Prophet, he's wearing silk and garments and everything else. And we're poor, we're wearing nothing. He says, try to blend in with people. Don't make yourself stand out, which is a problem. A lot of people usually have this issue. They have this disease of needing to have brands and everything. The hadith says, وَالتَّسْلِيمُ عَلَى الصِّبْيَانِ, saying salam and giving my greetings to kids, something we hardly do. Greeting a child, when you see a child, say salam alaikum to him. Come down to his level, bend your knees, bring your head towards his eyesight, eye level. This is exactly what the Prophet used to do with kids. Because he says kids are pure, there's nothing more pure than a child. And he says, I would love to spend my time with children. So he used to say salam to them. And when the child sees a person coming down to his level and greeting him, he feels good about himself. He has more confidence. He feels his high esteem goes a lot higher. He feels he's part of society. He feels respected. He feels loved. Don't neglect that. I always, when I see children, they are the first I say salam to, because this is the akhlaq of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. Let's not cast this important part of life, which is children. Children and youth, we always need to be able to greet them at all times. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam says, لِيَكُونَ سُنَّةٌ مِّن بَعْدِي. These five things I will never leave until I die, so they become a tradition after me, something that people follow. So me and you, let's look at ourselves. Let us see, do I and you have these five things or not? If I have them, then I am following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. If I don't, then I am far away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, Ya Rasulullah,
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting and environmental services. Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-coloured foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colours mixed by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food colouring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience. You never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves this purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theatre.
Tehran Saray Gallery takes part in a massive art exhibition in South Korea, bringing Iran's leading and emerging artists to the Asian market. Works from six Iranian painters are displayed at the event, where hundreds of galleries account for more than $50 million in sales annually. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
Seoul's annual global art exhibition has been reinvigorated this year with additional events and a most certain boost in attendance. The Korea International Art Fair continues an evolution that began with its launch back in 2002. This year features 164 galleries and more international exhibitors than ever before. That growing cosmopolitan experience and this region's growth as an art market hub is what brought a premier Iranian gallery to Seoul.
When we started this gallery, We had the big goal to just introduce Middle Eastern artists and Iranian artists to all over the world. So when you want to introduce artists, you cannot forget South Korea and Far East as well.
Sarai had participated in last year's art fair with paintings purchased by local Korean collectors. Expanding on that success at the event, and as Iranian artists are growing in international stature, Hassan Saradipour decided to display works from six Iranian artists at this year's event.
Our gallery focuses on the established and emerging artists. This artist, Abbas Nasashamlu, he just wants to show that how the nature and how the human can affect to each other, how this experience he can bring it on the canvas, on the paper.
The massive exhibition featured paintings, although there were various multimedia and sculpture installations. As South Korean living standards have risen, more people have time and money to spend on such events. Their taste in art has also become more sophisticated.
South Korea used to lack art galleries compared to other countries. There was a serious lack of love for this level of culture. However, now these events, I think, create opportunities for more people to gain such appreciation.
For the first time this year, Freeze Art Fair in Seoul exhibited works from 110 galleries, including Picasso, other 20th century masters, and contemporary talents. Frank Smith, Seoul.
An Iranian movie wins the grand prize for the best film in this year's Moscow International Film Festival. In its international debut, No Prior Appointment won the Best Film and the Best Actress awards. The movie is a product of Farabi Cinema Foundation and directed by Behruz Shoaibi in Iran in 2021. It is the story of a girl named Yasaman who returns to Iran from Germany after her father's death. A short stay in her father's hometown and meeting those who know him leads her to a new understanding of humans and the concept of death. The 44th edition of the Moscow International Film Festival was held this year from September 4 to 11.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Animals, no matter pets or wild, are more vulnerable to drowning or dying in resulting floods and mudslides. A veterinarian school in Pakistan is offering free treatment for animals injured in the recent devastating floods. The veterinary surgery department of Sindh Agriculture University has set up a makeshift animal hospital as flooding hit humans and animals alike in the surrounding area. Volunteers have been providing anything from surgery to medicine and even ultrasounds to the animals free of cost. People from flood-affected areas can be seen bringing their farm animals such as goats, donkeys, buffaloes, and cows to the center. The worst floods in history have killed an estimated 800,000 farm animals. But there were many heartwarming videos trolling on social media showing people come to rescue animals being stuck hopelessly.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing tastes and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is underway. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones, which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture. These days, computer technology is impacting every aspect of our life, providing a greater ability to place things, events, and people within context. An Iraqi museum has started using the technology and virtual reality headsets to make exhibits interactive and to bring scenes back to life. Visitors can explore heritage sites destroyed by terrorist groups. Now using thousands of photographs, a group of local engineers have given a virtual rebirth to five historic sites in Mosul and the broader Nineveh province. That includes a mosque and its leaning minaret. But this museum brings sites back to life for the people who live in Mosul. Although large parts of the old city remain oceans of debris, authorities are trying to restore historic sites, mosques and churches in Mosul. A private museum along the Tigris River, which opened in mid-June, saw more than 4,000 visitors in its first month. The floating cinema of unknown waters is back in the Italian city of Venice, and spectators are getting buoyant to reach the annual Open Sea Film Festival. On board, rowing boats, motorboats, gondolas, and whatever capable of floating, spectators sail to the shallows behind the Giudecca Island for this one-of-a-kind cinematic experience. The audience can watch the program from their own boat or a barge with chairs for those without floating transportation. The event consists of a series of screenings, performances and presentations on a floating platform and is held for 12 nights in the Venetian Lagoon.
A new bird species has been discovered on the southernmost islands of the Americas. Biologists are baffled.
Discovering new bird species is very, very difficult and rare because the world has been more focused on observing birds. Therefore, this means the discovery site is unique in the sub-Antarctic zone, on which Chile has important sovereignty. This raises the importance of caring for the environment and unique ecosystems, as these sites will allow us to carry out research on climate change, new species and behaviors.
The tiny bird weighs only 16 grams and has a large beak with black and yellow streaks along its body. Researchers say the animal is a subcategory of a species typically found in the Patagonia forest and inhabits tree trunks. But the newly discovered cousin has surprised scientists as it learned to burrow and live in a harsh tundra climate with bitter temperatures. The Diego Ramirez archipelago, where the bird was found, is an isolated bit of land. It also lacks mammalian predators and woody plants. Biologists and researchers from Chilean universities and various academic centers studied the birds for 6 years before announcing the new species. This story will tell you about what could be the bright side of climate change, and that's the discovery of dinosaur tracks dating back to 113 million years ago. The tracks were found in the U.S. state of Texas, where drought has dried up parts of Paluxy River. Experts say the tracks belong to a two-legged dinosaur with small arms and weighing 7 tons. They say dinosaurs made the prints as they roamed muddy areas over 100 million years ago. The prints were then covered over with sediment due to a flood. And after that, they turned into limestone, protecting the prints. The experts say the tracks have not been seen either before or in decades.
اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها المزمل قم الليل الا قليلا نصفه
او انقص منه قليلا او زد عليه ورتل القران ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرانك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك ارجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا احسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرانك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى جيل الفرجهم
Welcome back again. Assalamu alaikum. And inshallah, now we will continue through the next ayahs, verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, practicing and applying the rules of Tajweed on each and every words, okay?
Oh,
حياة القلب في القرآن سعادتنا مدى الأزمان وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح ويطوي عثرة المجروح.
So we practiced up to the third ayah. Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب, and also الذين يؤمنون. All these three ayahs were practiced alongside Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is part of the first ayah. Now we'll go through the next ayahs, ayah 4. But before we go to the next ayah, let's recite from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim up to the last word of ayah 3. Then we'll continue to the next ayah. Together we'll recite ayah 4 as well, okay? So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألف لام ميم
ألف لام
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه
هدى للمتقين
هدى للمتقين
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك
وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
أحسن. Okay, so up to the third ayah we worked on and applied the rules of tajweed, but ayah 4, وَالَّذِينَ, there is waw, then alif, hamzatul wasl we have. Since we joined the letter waw to the word الَّذِينَ, so we skip hamzatul wasl. And lam is as well there, okay? Lam is actually, it has a baby W. Is it a moon letter or sun letter?
Lam?
Yes.
Sun letter.
MashaAllah, but that's wrong.
Moon letter.
Nothing. But that's wrong.
Nothing.
No letter.
We have Hamzatul Wasl plus Lam. There is a Lam, yes?
Yes.
What is after the letter Lam?
The. After Lam?
After the letter Lam.
One more Lam.
One more Lam.
Sun.
So since we have two Lam, that's why they are merged together, okay?
Yes.
So that's not a sun letter. That is a moon letter, but it because they are identical, that's why they are merged. Oh. Did you get it?
Yes.
Yeah. You say, wal?
Ladina.
It's like this, but because they are... Yeah, idgham mithlain, okay? Because they are the same identical, okay? That's why they're merged.
But that lam was moon letter.
That's moon letter, yes. The lam is moon letter. Okay? That's why, because it's this way. Look, waw, hamzatul wasl, plus lam on the top of lam and sukun, okay? And then lam with fatha. Wal?
Ladin.
So lam is pronounced here, the first lam, yes?
Yeah.
So it is, what? Lam is a moon letter.
Moon letter.
A qamari letter, okay?
Yes.
Not a sender. So, وَالَّذِينَ حَمْزَةُ الْوَسْلِ is skipped here and because you join it. وَالَّذِينَ ذَال, the pronunciation of ذَال. It's easy, we worked on. يُؤْمِنُونَ, there is no new point. بِمَا, here there is a mad. So we got to talk about this mad. What type of mad is it?
It is جَائِز مُنْفَسِل.
جَائِز مُنْفَسِل. How did you understand that?
Because after it is unzila. The hamza is separate.
Hamza is separated.
Yeah.
It's another word.
Yes.
Oh, wait. We got the condition. Okay. We got the condition. We should have the mad letters that we have here. Alif. Bima. Okay, alif we have. Right, Hussein? And plus the next condition was this, that you should have the hamza. If you have these two conditions, there is one thing. If these two things, this is hamzatul qata, okay? Hamza and harful mad, okay? The mad letter. If they both are at the same word, in one word, so the mad will be wajib muttasil. It means these are connected, these two, in one word. The mad is mandatory. The mad is obligatory. Necessary. You gotta stretch it for how many counts?
Six
counts. But if the harful mad and the hamza, if they are in two different words, not at the same word, the mad will be optional.
Ja is
optional, okay? It is permissible. Okay? And you can stretch it for how many counts?
4 to 6.
2 counts, 4 counts, 6 counts. It's optional. Optional. Optional is optional.
Yeah.
Can we do it more than 6 counts?
No. If you want, yes, you can do it. But it should be like qiraat, majlisi qiraat. You can do it, okay? But in tartil, I've never heard any of the teachers, okay, doing this. So, it's optional. You can do it. But it's better. The normal sound, the normal longer sound is 6 counts. So, how do you do this? You can skip the mad. Either you skip it or you prolong it.
وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ.
Look, just natural mad, alif mad. Or بِمَا
أُنزِلَ بِمَا.
Alright, Fawad? The next point here is أُنزِلَ. Nun ساكين plus za.
إخفى.
إخفى. Why, Fawad?
Because it's in
Fawad
the
is very good
letters.
At إخفى. Huh?
Because they is in the rest of the letters.
Oh, they is in the group of the rest of the letters, okay? So that's why we apply the rule ikhfa.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
And بما أنزل. How do you say it, Fawad?
بما أنزل.
بما أنزل. Okay. إليك. 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 What mad is it?
Lean.
Wama, the same, okay? Wama unzila, bima unzila, wama unzila. Whatever we talked about in bima unzila, the same we have here, okay? The same speech we have here. Min qablika, nun sakin plus qaf. Hussein Ruhullah. Nun sakin plus qaf.
Yes.
What rule is applied? Idgham, right?
No.
What rule is applied? Idgham.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa, why?
من قبلك.
Okay. How do you say this? Read it.
من قبلك.
من قبلك. Okay. Good. Ali Nasir, how do you read this?
من قبلك.
من قبلك. What rule is applied? Noon, ساكن plus قاف.
إخفاء.
إخفاء. Hide the sound.
من قبلك.
How?
من قبلك.
Okay, من قبلك. But if you remember, I told you that if you have the letter qaf, you apply the rule ikhfa, but it should be a heavy one. Because the letter qaf is a heavy letter. It has to go kind of close to the sound of qaf. من قبلك. من شر.
The
mink, mink, kaf, sheen, qaf. These three letters, okay? And also saad, dad, miyonsa, whatever, okay? So these are heavy letters, but sheen and kaf are the same, kind of close to this. But these heavy letters must be kind of heavy, if I have to apply. So, miyon qablike. All right? That's it. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ خِ The letter خَ is pronounced lightly here, okay? Because it has a kasra sound. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ رَاتِ. Look, heavy, light, and then heavy sound. آخِرَاتِ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Longer, Matt? Okay. Recite this ayah, Hussein Ruhullah.
Whole ayah?
Yeah, the whole ayah. Or just wow if you want to recite. Just recite wow.
Okay. والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
Okay, Ali Nasser.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
والذين يؤمنون he said والذين right يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك he said. He didn't apply the rule ikhfa. These two mistakes. But Ali Nasir fixed all those two mistakes. He added one mistake. That was qablik. Qa, qa. Which is a heavy sound. You have to say qa.
Qablik.
Wa min qablik. That's it. Okay. Thank you so much. Now let's go to the next ayah. Okay. Now we finished this ayah. Alhamdulillah. You learned it. Now the fifth ayah that today we recited. Let's recite it.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم
أولئك على هدى من ربهم
وأولئك هم المفلحون
وأولئك هم المفلحون.
أحسن. Okay, now in this ayah we have ulaika. So we have a mad. We have to pay attention to this one.
Ja is.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Ja is muttasil.
MashaAllah, ja is muttasil. Did we have anything called ja is muttasil mad?
No.
We had ja is munfasil. Or we had wajib muttasil.
Wajib muttasil, sorry.
So is it wajib muttasil?
Yeah, wajib
muttasil. Why is it wajib muttasil?
Because hamza is in one word with mad.
With alif mad.
Okay. They are in one
harf
word.
Mad. Or let the mad letter plus hamza, both are in the same word.
Ula'i.
Okay. That's why we have to stretch it for six counts. And that is mandatory. Wajib. Okay.
Wajib. Yes.
Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB. Thanks first and foremost to Allah Almighty and then to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Inshallah. See you next week. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.